Well, good morning. I am so excited to see you guys here this morning. I'm excited to start a new series with you. I'm excited just to worship our Lord this morning. So glad that we could do that together. We're kicking off a series, like we mentioned, 30 days with Jesus. 30 days with Jesus. And that fires me up because, you can't do better than immersing ourselves into the life of Christ. In fact, we're going to take a journey together over the next 30 days. It's going to be 7 messages, 30 devotionals that you'll do on your own, 6 small group or family discussions. And through all of that, we are going to get to know Jesus better. Because when you strip it all down and you take church out of things and religion out of things and our own evil out of things, what really matters is Jesus. And I'm excited that we're going to go through the Gospel of John together as we preach and as we study God's Word together. I'm excited about that. Listen to what the Apostle John said about his own book, the Gospel of John. He says this in John 20:31. He's saying why he wrote the book. He said, but I have written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So in these 30 days, my prayer and our church's prayer is that people will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that all of us will discover the life that Jesus promises that we find in him. That sound good? Sounds pretty awesome to me. Here's why it's so critical, because Jesus, it's the Sunday school answer, but Jesus is the answer to everything. You say, how do I endure hardship? Jesus. How do I find joy and peace and purpose? Jesus. How do I resist temptation? How do I get along with difficult people? How do I overcome habits in my life? The answer is simply Jesus. But in church, in life, in family, in our own spirit, it's easy and it's possible to miss him, to do all the practices, to go through all the motions, and yet miss what's most important, and that is a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that we will know him better. You think we will? Do you think if we commit to 7 messages looking at the great statements that Jesus made, that I am, all his I am statements, and we do 30 days of devotionals where we get out our Bibles and we read about him and we study his life, and then we get together in groups or in families and we talk about him, do you think we'll get closer to Jesus these 30 days? Man, me too. Me too. I'm looking forward to it for me and my family and my small group and our church. I can't wait to get closer to Jesus. And guys, as I've planned my messages out way in advance, and as I've been thinking about this series, I've had a prayer that the Apostle Paul has prayed for the people that he was leading in Ephesus, and he prayed this, and I'm gonna read this, and I'm gonna pray for us this same prayer, okay? This is what I've been praying. He says this in Ephesians 1. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may, what? Know him better. Know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Man, let's pray. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your son, Jesus Christ. And God, you don't want to hide yourself from us. You want us to know you better. You want us to know you in an intimate way. So Father, I pray for us, that those that are gathered here this morning, that our church, that 30 days later, we will all know you better. God, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our heart. You enlighten us that we might know you better. I pray that we cling to the hope that is true and is sure and is certain in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that we'll know all the great riches and blessings and position that we have in Christ. And God, I pray that your great power would be in display in our lives for us who believe. God, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of John. That's where we're going to be the next 7 weeks. We're going to start in chapter 6. Jesus made 7 or 8 statements here. We're going to combine 1. 8 statements about himself using the phrase starting with, I am. I am. And let me just set the scene in John chapter 6, the first part of that chapter. He does this amazing miracle where he feeds 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Now, let me just ask you, does anybody smell anything in here? What do you smell? I smell some bread, yeah. Uh-huh. Anna's got it cooking right over here. Setting the mood. Anybody getting hungry? Anybody drooling? All right, good. Good. So he feeds 5,000 people, and then the disciples were like, send them away. He says, no, man, we fed them. And then he actually sends his disciples across the sea on a boat. He goes up to a mountain to pray, and while he's up there, a storm hits the sea. The disciples freak out. Jesus comes down off the mountain, walks across the water. Peter comes out. Peter starts to sink. Jesus calms the storm. Everything is cool. They land on the other side. That was a full day, wasn't it? Good grief. They get to the other side, and that's where we pick up our story. The people in verse 24 that he had fed on the other side of the sea come trucking around the sea like the dang paparazzi, and they're looking for Jesus. And that's where we pick up our story. Verse 25 says, when they found him, can you imagine this throng of people? When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? How did you slip past us? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus says, listen, you chased me down because you got your fill. You got fed. And you're focused on the physical needs. You're coming around the lake here so you can get more of what I just gave you. And you're missing the whole point. You're missing the message. You're missing what's really going on, that God has come down and revealed himself to you. Don't miss what's happening. Don't let your pressing needs cause you to miss the bigger needs. And the bigger message and the bigger meaning in life. Do we do that? I mean, do you get wrapped up in your little world like I get wrapped up in my little world? Do you get focused on the things that I get focused on? Our careers and our kids' activities and the next paycheck and the next meal and even bread. Now, this has been in Doug's pocket, so I'm not eating it. But if I had some butter, I'd think about it. Oh, it smells so good. Doug, why did you put it in your pocket? I mean, we get focused on whatever the bread is in your life. We get focused on the bread. I got to have this. I got to get that past that test. I got to get done with this job and this assignment at work. I've got to make sure my kids get to this tournament. I've got to make sure this. And we're so focused on the immediate need, the immediate bill, the immediate problem, the immediate issue, that this becomes the focal point. And Jesus is the one holding it and saying, listen, I've got that. Why don't you take your eyes off that and put your eyes on me. I'm right here. And so we got a crowd of people that are focused on the bread in the hand of Jesus instead of Jesus himself. Can anybody relate to that? Man, I know I can. The most important issues of life are in the heart, and they're no less real, but they're less visible. They're not demanding our attention like the bread. And so they often go neglected, don't they? I mean, the really important things that are going on in your heart and your relationships and in your family, those get swept under the rug because you're too busy and you're too focused and I'm too consumed with the bread instead of the one holding the bread. Jesus said, I want you to shift how you're thinking. He's on to them, isn't he? And he's trying to let them know, I know what you're thinking and I know what you're doing. And I want you to shift to what really matters. The food that doesn't spoil. Jesus said, listen, you're looking for food and I've got food that won't spoil. And that is me. I'm the source for eternal nourishment. If you'll just come to me. So their reaction is, oh, really? So you're God's representative. You're the one. You're the one that has this eternal bread. Well, listen, why don't you prove it? I'm paraphrasing, but they're like, why don't you prove it? That whole fish and bread thing you did yesterday, that was really cool. Why don't you do that again? Why don't you make some more bread, Jesus? Can you hear their stomachs rumbling right now? I mean, they had gotten their fill yesterday, but they had a long hike around the lake. And they get there, they said, hey, Jesus, if you want us to believe in you, why don't you make us some more bread? Let's have some bread, Jesus. And he's like, that's not what I'm doing for you. In fact, they even try to get really spiritual about it and said, God, Jesus, why don't you do like the manna, like God did when the Israelites came out of Egypt, and just provide us some daily bread, some daily manna like that. And if you don't know the story, Moses, God uses him to lead Israel out. And for 40 years, they wander in a desert, and God rains down a bread called manna from heaven 6 days a week to feed them every day, supernaturally, his people. And they were like, okay, well, if you're God, why don't you start doing the little manna trick? If you'll just multiply the fish and the loaves every day, sure, we'll follow you. We'll follow you like they followed Moses. They wanted a repeat performance, didn't they? Hey, Jesus, just keep the bread coming, baby. As long as you provide my needs, Jesus, as long as you do what I ask you to do, as long as I can get what I really want, not necessarily you, but if I can get what my bread is, whatever that thing is, then I will follow you. That stings, doesn't it? Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about himself. He says the bread that you need is one that can satisfy not only your stomach, but that can satisfy your soul. And they say, sir, always give us this bread. Man, that sounds awesome. That bread sounds better than the bread you gave us yesterday. Give us that bread. Now, let me just pause in the story right here. I was in third grade. And I love my father, but he's evil. I was in third grade and we were eating dinner around the table and I wanted more bread. I thought of this as I was reading this story. I wanted more bread. I said, Dad, could you pass some bread? You want butter on it? Absolutely. He butters the bread. He says, do you want the bread? I said, yeah, I want the bread. You really want the bread? I said, absolutely. Give me the bread, Dad. Wham! He threw it right in my face and it stuck to my face. And in shock, it stayed on my face, and it slowly fell off my face. And I was like, what is wrong with him? What did I do to deserve that? Well, Jesus, in this moment, he's rearing back. You want the bread? You really want the bread? Okay, I'll give you some bread. I'm the bread. Wake up. I told you my dad was evil, right? I mean, who would do that? I've asked him about that. He's like, I don't know why I did it. It was pretty funny now. Jesus then declared, here's the throne of the bread in their face. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus saying, you need me in your soul like you need bread in your belly. I am the substance of life. I'm the author of life. I am the giver of life. I'm the sustainer of life. See, bread was a staple in that day. They had bread every day. It's what they lived on. Without bread, there is no life. And it's kind of like Little Caesars today. You just, you can't live without it, right? It's the staple. And he says, I want to be that for you. I want to be what sustains you every single day. He said, can I really count on Jesus to do that? Is Jesus really sufficient to do that? If I put all my eggs in the Jesus basket, is he really going to sustain me physically, emotionally, spiritually? Is he enough to do what you're saying he can do? Let me tell you something. Hebrews 1:3 says this of Jesus, that he sustains all things. Certainly you're included. It also says in Colossians 1:17 that he holds all things together. That means the sun keeps shining because Jesus Christ has decreed that the sun will shine today. Aren't you glad it does? The earth keeps spinning around and around because Jesus, by his power, enables it and sustains it to spin. The seasons come and the seasons go because the powerful word of Jesus has decreed it and he is causing it to happen. The birds migrate in the winter and they come back in the summer because Jesus has foreordained it and he is in control of all things. So yes, I believe he's enough for you and he's enough for me. He is enough for all of us. We're breathing air this morning because he allows it. Here's what I want you to know. God is willing to meet your physical needs. In fact, he's promised to do so for a believer. He says, I know you need bread. And he wasn't begrudging them the day before when he fed them. He was pleased to give. In fact, you know what I love about Jesus? He made more than enough so that there were leftovers, baskets of leftovers. He said, I'm not going to give you just enough. I am pleased to give you more than enough because I love doing that for my children. And I will provide the bread that you need. And you can trust me to provide the bread that you need. I don't care what your boss says or what the industry's doing or if they're downsizing or if you've got skills you're lacking. I will provide for you the bread. But he loves you so much, he doesn't want to stop there. He wants to be everything to you. He wants to provide the not only the physical needs, but the emotional and the spiritual needs that every single one of us were created with a hole and a gap and an empty spot that only he can fill. He says, I want to fill those too. And I want to meet those needs. See, it's easy to chase after other things. We can chase after bread. We can chase after money. We can chase after success. We can chase after happiness. And if we're not chasing it through him and by him and for him and in him, then we are chasing the wrong things and trying to find it in all the wrong places. I won't do my umberfud, wookenpanub. You know like those Snicker commercials? You know the Snicker commercials where the Brady Bunch and Marsha's like a biker dude? And they say, you're not yourself when you're hungry, right? Those are funny. I like those. You know what? You and I are not what God created us to be until we find our satisfaction in him and in him alone. We're missing out on the best part of life. When Jesus says, I came to give them life, I'm the bread that came down to heaven for life. He's not just talking about eternal life, although he certainly is. He's talking about a quality of life that you and I cannot even come close to when we search for happiness and significance and meaning apart from him. He's this bread when everything else is going wrong and everything else is falling apart. Man, we eat of him and we are satisfied in him. That's what he wants to be for us. See, this world leaves our soul hungry, doesn't it? This world leaves us hungry. We long for hope and this world will try to take it from us. We long for acceptance and yet we get disappointed with people. We long for unconditional love and yet in Jesus Christ and only in him, all those things are found. So I got to ask myself and ask you, why do we keep looking for other places to fill what only he can do when he's promised to do it? It's all found in him. In fact, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's an incredible promise. If you'll seek me these next 30 days, if you'll look to me these next 30 days, if you'll begin the pattern of trusting me and find your satisfaction in me, then you will be filled and be satisfied. Man, I love pushing away from a big old plate of food when I'm all done. That's a good feeling. I'm sorry. Jesus says, I want you to be able to push back and go, man, I'm so satisfied. I am so content in you. Jesus, if we wrap up our story here, he says this, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. See, they were struggling to figure out, so if Jesus is the answer, then how do I make that a part of my life? What do I have to do? What's required? What are the laws? What are the rituals? What are the habits? What are the disciplines? Jesus says, it's none of that. You don't understand. The work that you need to do to find the satisfaction in life from me is one thing, and it's to believe in me. Man, that's some awesome news. He says, your work's really simple. It takes some faith. It takes some trust. but it's very simple. You just believe in me. Well, what are we supposed to believe about God? Believe that Jesus, God, is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, that you're not an accident, that he put you on purpose on this planet for his design and for his reasons. We need to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, come in the flesh, that he wasn't a good man or a moral teacher or a prophet. He was God incarnate, made man, revealed himself to a fallen world. And this is where it gets personal. We need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Make it personal, not just the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins. That we have offended God. And that our sins need to be reckoned with. And that Jesus Christ came and on the cross, he did that. He paid for those and he's willing to offer forgiveness to you if you put your trust in Jesus Christ as the sole means of salvation and forgiveness. We need to believe that. If you've never made that choice and put your faith in him in that way, we're going to give you an opportunity to in just a minute. But don't stop there. I think most of us get to that point and we say yes to Jesus and then we think that we've got to figure out the rest of it on our own. It's not true. The work leading up to faith in Christ is the same work after faith in Christ, and it's simply to believe that God is who he says he is and that he does what he says he will do. Maybe this morning you need to believe that Jesus can really provide all your needs. Maybe for the first time decide, I believe he's enough. I don't have to worry. I can rest in the fact that he has got me. And lastly, we need to believe this. The only God is sufficient to meet your internal heart needs. That he's enough. He's sufficient. He's able. There's nothing else. There's nothing you have to add to. That he alone is enough for the love and acceptance and a hope that we all long for every day. He's the source for all of that. See, those last two have to happen on a daily basis. Every day we got to be reminded, wait a minute, Jesus said he's got my needs. Wait, Jesus said that he's enough. Jesus said I can find my satisfaction in him. And so it's a daily remembering. It's a daily offering. It's a daily, let me ask you this, how many times do we eat? At least three times a day. My house. There's some bonus meals in there usually. It's a daily. That's why he uses the analogy of bread. You've got to come to me over and over and over again, not because it's a chore, not because it's work, because I've got what you need and I long to give it to you and find your satisfaction in me. You know that manna that they mentioned to Jesus? If they left it out overnight, or if they try to bottle some up and save some for the next day, they would wake up and the next day, guess what? It's spoiled. It's spoiled. So you can't just come to church and hope that carries you all week, or you can't have an experience with God and hope that carries you through to eternity, or you have a moment here and a moment there. He wants a daily relationship with you and with me that's like going to the cupboard over and over and over again and feasting on the truth of God and the goodness of God and the love of God and the mercies of God and the forgiveness of God. And he says, you eat of me as much as you want and I'll satisfy your soul. What a promise. What a great God. Jesus isn't satisfied until he's the source for all your needs. Did you realize that? Jesus won't be satisfied. That's why, you know, I'm going to church and I think I'm doing the right things, but I still feel like there's something missing, because whatever you're holding out on with him, whatever you're holding back from him, he's saying, listen, I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm going to keep revealing things to you. I'm going to keep making you uncomfortable enough until you decide that I'm enough, that you're satisfied in me. And I'm ready to meet all your needs. So be satisfied in him. Isn't that the point? You know, I had a conversation this week. I was sitting across the table from a young man. He's a pastor. I get to coach other pastors from time to time. And I'm having an outer body experience because I'm having a conversation with this young man that I had with my mentor 8 years ago. Very same scenario. His church is 1 year old and God is blessing it and people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ and they're growing and God's growing the church and the great things are happening. And he sat across the table from me this week and he says, but I'm not very happy. I should be happy. Good things are happening. My family, I just had a child. I'm on the top of the world. I mean, everything's going well, but why am I not happy? I asked my mentor that 8 years ago. Same thing. And I just got to use his wisdom for this guy. And I said, well, are you getting close to Jesus? Are you looking for ministry to satisfy you and how many people come to know Christ or how big your church is? Or are you looking to Christ alone to satisfy you? Because that's true for every one of us. Only Christ will satisfy us in our physical needs, in our emotional needs, in our eternal needs. There is one name under heaven by which you and I can find life, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful name. It's a name that is above all names. And that name and that person and that power wants to be revealed in your life like mine. Jesus said the only work that God requires is to believe. So if you've never offered your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never asked for Him for forgiveness, then you have a decision to make this morning. To put your faith in what He's done as the payment for your sin on a cross. Where He died for you. And then rose 3 days later to pay for your sins. Don't miss what is right in front of you. Don't be thinking about anything else. Jesus is holding out His hand and there's all kinds of good stuff in it. But what's most important is Jesus Christ Himself offers Himself to you. And says, I died on your behalf. Will you receive me? Don't be worried about anything else. Just focus on me and let me forgive you and lead you. The question this morning is, do you believe? Do you believe? Guys, for all of us, He wants to be our daily bread. Will you be satisfied by the things of this life and the things of this world? Or will you be satisfied by the author of life and the author of this world? Decide today that you'll make feeding your soul a priority. That you'll seek after Him to know Him better. This morning, our next step, what we want everyone in this room to do is to commit to going through 30 days with Jesus. This little booklet right here, they're on sale for $5 out there. They're just covering your costs. If you don't have the money today, we'll hunt you down. But we want every single one of you to walk out of here committed to doing 30 days with Jesus. When the sermons the next 6 weeks and 30 days of devotionals and small group or family discussions, that we would draw near to Him and learn to be satisfied in Him. And in just a minute, we're going to do communion. Because Jesus said He's the bread of life. And He said, take my body and eat that was broken for you. And the juice, the blood that was shed for you. And we're going to worship Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I just want to pause right now and recognize that in this room, there's a decision to be made for you. That there, someone in this room may be wondering, do I have eternal life? Have I received God's forgiveness? Do I know these things for sure? And so, Father, I pray if they're doubting that or know they don't have that, then this moment they would simply say, Jesus, I need You. I need You to forgive me. I believe You are God. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose from the dead and now can give me life because You have life. And I put my faith and my trust in You. And God, for all of us this morning, we might simply need to say, I want to be satisfied in You and You alone, God. I'm going to stop looking other places. I don't need anything else. What I need most in my life is You. And God, I pray they recognize you're standing there with arms open wide. It doesn't matter what yesterday held or last year held. God, what matters right now is that they turn to you. And they be satisfied in you, God, right now. I pray you speak to your people that way. God, may we find satisfaction in you alone. Because you're enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.